It's time for our weekly segment with John Machota of The Athletic.
Hey, tomorrow we're live at Leo Buckley Stadium in Killeen. Midway will play at Killeen, in Killeen against Ellison High School. Both teams won their District 12-6 opener, as did Belton and Temple. We'll have that game. We'll be on the air tomorrow afternoon from Leo Buckley Stadium in Killeen. We're now joined by John Machota, The Athletic, covers the Cowboys. And John, we had the Hall of Famer Gil Brent on earlier and asked him about first-round picks that don't make it. You hear the term bust or whatever. But in the end, why did Taco Charlton fail?
You know, I think he didn't mesh well with the coaching staff, in particular Rod Marinelli. You know, Rod and the entire defensive staff will tell you this is a effort-based defense, and I don't feel like they thought they were getting the best effort out of Taco Charlton at all times. I think that he flashed at times and he showed it, but then I think that other times he didn't live up to that standard. And when you look across the guys that have been on this defense at all three levels, that's something that they do, no matter how elite of a talent they are or if they're an undrafted guy. That's usually a thing that you can hang your hat on, and it just hasn't been there with Taco, and that's rubbed the coaches the wrong way, and then that led to him being a healthy scratch last year. And then just coming into this season, I just don't think he handled stuff the right way. I remember after one of the preseason games, he was talking to a group of us about how, you know, him and his agent, you know, that's what he's focused on, is what, you know, what his agent tells him and things like that. And it just certainly made you seem like he had one foot out the door. And so it just, behind the scenes, I'm sure it didn't get any better. And then he had a decent preseason, and all of a sudden he's inactive again to start the season. You just knew that things probably weren't going that well behind the scenes, and it eventually got to the point where, yeah, they're going to keep him for the first 2 weeks because they didn't have Robert Quinn, but then as soon as Quinn came back, then that's why they were going to make the move. And it also didn't help that, you know, he tweets the other day, free me. You know, I mean, when you take that stuff public like that, it just doesn't sit well with teams, especially ones that are, you know, they feel like they have a good group, you know, and they feel like they can make a Super Bowl run. The last thing they want are distractions, especially from a guy that hasn't even been active. So, I mean, it's not just a one thing. It's a bunch of things, but I think the effort all the time and not being a Rod Marinelli type guy like that, I think that's what ultimately hurt him.
What does it say about him, though? I mean, John, you've covered this team for a while, and just going back historically, there are not many people who are upset with their conditions as a Cowboys player, whether they're player number one on the roster or the last guy on the practice squad, that Taco Charlton has a beef.
Yeah, it's strange because, you know, Rod's a big part of the draft process, too. Certainly when you're going to take a guy, a defensive end, in the first round, Rod's going to have a big say in that. And so when I look back on that, it just makes me wonder, where did they miss on this? Where did they misevaluate this? I mean, I don't see how Rod would sign off on them drafting a guy in the first round if he didn't think that he would give great effort all the time. I mean, did you think that, because I don't remember if that being a problem when he was at Michigan. And so, like you said, it just, that hasn't been a problem with the Cowboys with guys like that, and especially first rounders. I mean, the first round, the Cowboys have been, they've drafted as well, if not better, than anybody in the league. And it just, it's one first round hit after another. And really, you have Taco, which is an outlier, because generally they've gotten good production from their first round picks. And, you know, I know a lot of people want to look back and they look at, you know, TJ Watt, a guy that a lot of the fans wanted because he was a pass rusher who went right after Taco and then obviously goes on and makes a Pro Bowl. But just the way the Cowboys evaluated it, they liked the way that Taco fit better in a 4-3 as opposed to Watt, who was more of a 3-4 outside linebacker, which is what he's doing with the Steelers. And so they liked his length, and they felt like, you know, he was a late bloomer at Michigan. You know, maybe he doesn't give us something major right away, but eventually, you know, we might have people have him on one side and Lawrence on the other. And it just really never looked like that was ever going to happen. And so I also think it's interesting that they weren't even able to get at least like a 6th, 7th round pick for him. That's really wild to me, because it's not like they reached on taking Taco in the first round. Like late first round, early second is where he was projected to go. So there has to be other teams that had interest in him as well. And it amazes me that someone of his size and still being young like that, that no one was even willing to throw them a late round pick.
Yeah, that's damning, and he might have caused some of that himself because of some things that he started to complain about a little bit. We had Gil Brent on as well, and I asked you, John Machota, The Athletic, covers the Cowboys, is how much does a first-round pick, what do you need to get out of a minimum? And Gil said you want to get 5 years as a starter, and obviously Taco didn't give them any years as a starter. How much do you think it does for a, and this is a franchise, the Cowboys, that have really been good when it comes to personnel decisions, draft choices, the salary cap, the way they've managed it. But so this is one of the few times they've missed in recent years. How much does it set them back as a franchise when you do miss out on a first-round pick, in your opinion?
You know, I think it sets you back a little bit. I don't think it's anything too significant, just because they have other, like, I really feel like their defensive line has some of the best depth that they've had in a long time. And so I think that's why it doesn't really set them back. If now they were depending on Taco to be the starter at right end and they didn't go off and sign Robert Quinn in free agency, then I think you got some problems, because it certainly looks like Tyrone Crawford's hips been bothering them, and that might not get better anytime soon, if at all, this season. That's when I think you run into some problems. But because they drafted Dorrance Armstrong, you know, a year ago in the fourth round, they drafted Joe Jackson this year, and that you do have Robert Quinn, I don't think it sets him back as much as it would in some other situations. But, yeah, 5 years as a starter, that makes sense. I will say there's a little bit more uncertainty at that back end of the first round where they took Taco at. But it is, yeah, it's, I mean, clearly it didn't work out. It's not, you're going to look back on it and you're going to say it wasn't a good pick. I mean, it just, there's no way around it. The guy, I think he played in 27 games. He only started 7 games. He only got you 4 sacks. I mean, that's not what you're expecting out of a pass rusher you're taking the first round.
Yeah, you lose the first-round pick, the value, and then you have to give something up to replace him with Robert Quinn. That's a lot of collateral. Paul?
Yeah, by the way, I just looked, and the only player drafted after him, other than T.J. Watt, obviously, that maybe, and of course maybe David Njoku, because they needed a tight end, but David Njoku and Buda Baker, to me, to be the only ones that would, you know, of anybody drafted that would have really, you know, made any sense for the Cowboys at the time, based on, you know, their roster needs the last couple of years. John, Xavier Woods has a high ankle sprain, does he not?
He does. I just, it's interesting how this, they're you know, you see the reports that come out, and you know, I'm talking to some people about it, and it sounds like, you know, this is something that he's going to be out for at least a few weeks. And then today, you know, Jason Garrett says, well, now we did not see him at practice out there. Now, Jason Garrett did say that he might do something. So from what I saw at practice, I did not see him out there doing anything. But it was just a total turn from, I thought this was going to be 4 to 6 weeks, and now that's, the Cowboys don't believe it's going to be something like that. So maybe it isn't quite as bad. Maybe it's just your a regular ankle sprain as opposed to a high ankle sprain. They're obviously fortunate to be playing, you know, a tanking Dolphins team this week, so I don't see any reason why you'd worry about him being in this game. But when it first came out, you kind of were like, oh, this isn't going to be good. But hearing Jerry Jones talk yesterday about it, it certainly sounded like he wasn't overly concerned, like it was going to be a long-term injury. So because of that, you know, I don't think he plays this week, and maybe not the week after that, but maybe he comes back in a few weeks when they play the Packers. Obviously, it's not ideal, but you look across the league and you see some of these guys dropping for these other teams. I mean, you lose a Gallup for a couple weeks and a Xavier Wood for a few weeks. I mean, no, that's pretty good compared to what most are dealing with. I'm pretty sure the Eagles only had a walkthrough today because they have so many injuries.
Yeah, no, I brought that up on Monday or Tuesday. They've had their years where the defensive line was decimated. Heck, they had guys who were delivering soft drinks, playing defensive line at some point, and that was how bad it was. And my God, they were just decimated by the injuries. They have really been pretty fortunate with, you see what's happened to the quarterbacks, and it's just week two. What's happened to other players? To have Gallup only have an injury where he's only out 2 to 4 weeks or however long Woods is out, you lose those two guys, let's say long-term, as deep as they are, and it's what Devin Smith did at wide receiver. You lose those two guys, then all of a sudden there's leaks, you know what I mean? Because then somebody else goes down, and it seemed like it attacks the same position. So pretty fortunate. Is it always complicated, though, when a Cowboys player is hurt? Is it always, can it not just be cut and dry what the injury is and how long?
No, and I think one of the parts of that is the Jerry Jones factor in that. He just loves all this. He doesn't want stuff to be simple and just cut and dry, and you just move on with it. I think that there's a little bit more of mixed messages when it comes to the Cowboys on these things, because you hear one thing from the coaches, and then sometimes you'll then talk to him, and he'll say that it's not as bad as what, you know, somebody else is saying and whatnot. And so I think that factors into it a lot. I will say this, I do think it's very interesting when I watch other coaches' press conferences and they just start right off the beginning. by, they don't even take a question, and they just start ripping off names of just blah, 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 like, you know, knee, not going to practice today, and they just go right down the roster. But with Jason Garrett, it's like, if you don't specifically ask about that player, he's probably not going to offer anything up. I mean, like for today, like, you know, talking to him about Taco Charlton, he certainly wasn't giving us anything about it. Like, and he knew, obviously, that he was the guy that was going to be cut at 3 o'clock. So it's almost, you know, we joke around. We're like, no, I'm just going to have to bring the roster to this press conference, and we're just going to have to go down the list, every single name. Xavier Woods, he practiced today. Brett Maher, Taco Charlton, Dak Prescott, and just go through the whole entire roster. I don't know why it's got to be like that. I don't know what the secretism that comes behind that. I don't know, but it is, that is just how it is with the Cowboys.
John, were you surprised they didn't kick the tires a little harder on Minkah Fitzpatrick, or is that because they feel pretty good about what they have, even with the injury or whatever it is to Xavier Woods?
The only reason I'm not surprised is just because of what they've done in free agency and in the draft the last 5-plus years. And in saying that, I just mean that I just can't find a team in the NFL that has less value on the safety position than the Dallas Cowboys. And while I know, you know, a lot of draft experts that have studied Minkah Fitzpatrick more than I have will say his best spot is probably a corner, specifically a slot corner, which that's not really what the Cowboys need. If the Cowboys would have made a move for him, it would have been to play safety. And they just don't have that value. And when I heard that the reports first started coming out that, you know, his agent had been talking with the Dolphins were like, hey, we're gonna, you know, we'll grant your wish, we'll trade you. And it started surfacing that, you know, what they needed in return was at least a first-round pick. I just immediately thought the Cowboys wouldn't be a fit there just because of the fact that they just haven't been willing to invest that much at that position. I thought that they would go safety in the second round this past year, and they didn't. And there were good safeties available. And then, obviously, in free agency, you know, once Earl Thomas got that deal from the Ravens, it was like they were never going to even be in that neighborhood, and they just haven't been a player at that position. So because of that position, I wasn't surprised. But I do think if the right player was out there, even though they have to still pay Dak and they still have to pay Amari, I would not close the door on the Cowboys trying to make a move if they felt it put them over the top. It's just there's certain positions I just don't think they value as much as other teams.
Yeah, so they're 2-0. They're going to win this Sunday, and it's, there aren't many gimmies in the National Football League, but it seems like with what's happened with Antonio Brown, whatever ends up happening with him, and what happens, I know Jalen Ramsey's going to play tomorrow night for Jacksonville. Do you see, is there talk amongst those of you who cover the team, the league, do you see what is turning into what could be an NBA-style, superpower teams-type migration with players finding ways to get to where they want to go?
Yeah, and I think that you can give some of that credit to social media. Antonio Brown, social media certainly helped him get his release. I find it hard to believe that Taco tweeting "Free me" the other day didn't factor in. I mean, they're just. I think that is something that is in play now that wasn't a significant factor even 5-10 years ago. And so I think because of that, it gives players more of a voice. You know, to just, hey, you might be having a bad moment, and in the past, maybe, you know, you'd have to catch that player at the right time when reporters are around. Now that guy can just be in a bad mood, and he can just go to his social media account, and he doesn't even have to have that tweet or that Instagram post up for more than a minute. Someone's going to see it, someone will screen grab it, and it's out there. And I think because of that, I think that kind of helps factor in that it's given these players even more say. And the thing is it just, it's so difficult. How do you keep a guy that is publicly saying that he wants out if you are a Super Bowl contending team, a team that you think that you have all the pieces? How can you have a guy like that on your team? So, yeah, no, I think that absolutely could be the case. I don't know if it'll go full NBA, but it seems to be heading that way, that, you know, players want out. Minkah Fitzpatrick wanted out. He was moving pretty quickly. You know, Taco wanted out. You know, 2 weeks in the season, he's out too. Antonio Brown, you know, if things keep going that way in Jacksonville, I see Jalen Ramsey getting moved as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on the other side of the coin, or another factor in it, I think social media was kind of the undoing, not because they were complaining on social media, but because the three of them were obsessed with it, in Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley, and Terrence Williams not being as productive as they could with the Cowboys, especially towards the end of their run.
Yeah, you summed that up perfectly. Like, that group loved to go on Twitter and voice whatever. And it was entertaining for me as a reporter. But it was just interesting to see, like, covering, you know, that time when those guys were doing that, it just made me think of just how everything has changed so quickly in specifically after games, which is how fast guys would take to social media. Before, you know, there's that period, obviously, you know, when you were waiting outside the locker room before they allow us in, it's supposed to be like the cool-down period. And by the time we got in there, there's guys that had already been on their phones and responding to, like, fans and stuff on Twitter, you know, 5 minutes after a game, 10 minutes after a game's over. And so that's when I'm glad you brought that up, because those guys did open my eyes to that for sure, where I was like, yeah, you're not putting the genie back in the bottle. This is out. This is part of today's society, and so it's going to be part of today's game. And I don't see any way that changes.
Yeah, Dez went on a rant after Ricardo Lockett broke his neck about somebody, random dude on Twitter, tweeted that he was laughing on the sideline, which wasn't true. And then he kind of accused all of us that were standing there of being the person who tweeted that. And like, no, man, nobody here said that. You know, it was bizarre. But, I mean, those kind of things they'll undo you. I mean, what, you know, I don't think the Cowboys could ever convince Dez. Dez, what do you care, man? You're here. You have this job. You're winning.
Yeah, no, and for sure. And I'm that exact, you know, example you're bringing up, I'll never forget that, because it was so contentious in there. And it was like you couldn't even explain to him that, like, hey, this is some, like, random blogger like that. This isn't somebody that's ever going to be in this locker room ever around. Like, we have nothing to do with that. And you can't win in that situation when a guy is that fired up, especially after a game like that. And, I will never forget that. That was crazy. We basically just had to leave his locker because he was so fired up about that. And that's, you know, that's something else that you run into. I guess you got to kind of deal with it, though. But that's the one thing about the social media thing. It's just not, you know, with reporters and the players. Obviously, the fans can say whatever they want to those players. And if you don't have thick enough skin, you know, you're going to respond to that stuff. And, Dez still does that to this day. I mean, it makes him a great follow on Twitter. But there's certainly things he does on Twitter that NFL teams would not want him doing as a player for their team, you know.
I got one more thing, and I know you got to go, John. Appreciate your time today. But we were mentioning the Cowboys, the injuries they're dealing with, Antoine Woods and then Michael Gallup, and both of those could have been, like, gone long term. I just happened to look up at the Washington Post. The Redskins have been in a slew. Listen, they're a bad franchise, but they have been in a slew of about 3 to 5 years where it seems like they've had mass injuries. They have players who don't trust either the training staff or the doctors. Trent Williams is holding out because of that, not because of money, although it's always about the money. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie went down in the game with Dallas. He's on injured reserve. They have 10 players in week two, 10 players who are on injured reserve. I'm not asking you about them. I'm asking you about Mike Wocheck, because we know he's been a part of Super Bowls before with Dallas, and he's also been a part of Super Bowls with the Patriots. How much of this could be Mike Wocheck, or is it just flat luck?
No, I mean, I'm sure you have to give luck a part of it. He's a big part of it for sure. Jim Maurer, Britt Brown, their athletic training staff, those guys obviously deserve credit for it as well. I think there's a lot of preventative things that they do, you know, in terms of stretching, things like that, that help out as well. And then the other thing is, too, is that I just really feel like the way training camp is with them, like, they pick and choose their spots for when they, you know, want to go and be competitive, but it's very, very little when you think of where the NFL used to be. And so their training camps have just been really, hey, let's just get out of this thing healthy. You know, let's get as many guys healthy. If anybody's got even anything small, sit them. Like you're not going to take part in this. We want the starters to be, you know, healthy going into the season. Now, some will argue that, you know, that doesn't get you prepped for the season, that can lead to injuries that way, but it hasn't for the Cowboys for the most part. You know, now I say that, somebody, you know, there'll be some major injuries now on Sunday, but I think luck plays into it as well. I mean, this, you got to be in, you know, sometimes you're in the wrong spot at the wrong time. You know, in terms of at quarterback play, because there's obviously been a lot of quarterbacks getting injured here and potentially out for the season. You know, it helps that you set your foundation on building this offensive line, because that not only gives your quarterback the best chance to be healthy, but gives him the best chance to succeed. And I think that was really smart, and Jason Garrett deserves a lot of credit for that, that, you know, he takes over as head coach, very first pick that they take of his tenure is Tyron Smith, and they've been building that offensive line ever since. And so, like, and things like that, you know, you can kind of control that a little bit, But at the same time, it's like Dak's a runner. I mean, he's going to be susceptible to, you know, certain hits. Ezekiel Elliott is a physical runner. He very rarely just goes out of bounds. I mean, he's looking to, you know, lower his head and get contact. So, you know, there's got to be some luck involved as well. But, yeah, no, the training staff, the athletic trainers, the, you know, all those guys, they deserve credit as well. It's interesting to see how it's affected the league. And for the most part, they've been in pretty good shape, at least through 2 weeks.
Good stuff, John. Thank you, John Machota, with us from The Athletic. Covers the Cowboys every Wednesday at